If you have your Bibles with you today, I would invite you to turn with me to Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter 16, as we're going to be studying there here briefly, and then we are going to be in the book of John. So John chapter 14 specifically. So Mark 16 is where we're going to begin, and then John 14 is where we're going to go shortly after that. As we continue our series, Move of God. Aren't you glad that God is moving, church?
Amen.
Amen. And as we continue with this installment today within this series, I know that we understand this, but I just want to cover just a few quick, I'll call them truths of our world. We know that we live in a natural world. What do I mean by that phrase this morning? We live in a world that is bound by physical and scientific law. What this means is that we are limited in what we can do or accomplish. How many know, understand what I'm saying this morning? There's just certain amounts that we can do. There are certain amount of things that we can accomplish by means of the natural world. The natural world has a certain flow, if you will, that comes along with it. There are natural reactions or consequences that come with certain action or behavior. For instance, if you stand on top of a grain elevator here in north central Kansas and you drop a ball off the top of that, what's going to happen? It's going to float up to the sky and disappear, right? Well, no, it's going to fall to the ground, right? It's just the law of gravity. It's something that's there that we see happen all the time. We know that naturally, if we don't take care of our bodies, that things begin to slow down. We get out of shape. We might, you know, start to grow in ways that we don't want to grow, but we're not able to do what we would like to do. You know, this weekend, my family and I, we were out in our yard and we were doing some lawn care and getting things tidied up for the spring. And I realized pretty quickly, it's been a long time since I've been behind a push mower. In years past, we had the luxury of borrowing a zero-turn diesel Kubota with a 60-inch deck that, I mean, just cut that grass just ever so nicely and ever so smoothly. And I'm thinking, yeah, you know, we've got a double lot, and that's all right. We've got a mower. We'll take care of it. And I tell you what, about three or four runs on that thing, I realized it's been a long time since this old boy's been behind a push mower. I need the exercise. Amen. How many know what I'm talking about? You know, things just begin to go certain directions. It's just the natural way things work. We all know that if we water the grass, it gets greener. If we don't ever turn on a sprinkler, well, you guys get the idea. There's a certain flow to our world. There's natural reactions or consequences that come with the way we live in this life. And we all know what life in the natural looks like and what it feels like. But today, church, we're not here to necessarily talk about life only in the natural. This morning we're here to talk about what God can do through the supernatural. Today we're going to talk about God's move as a move of miracles. How many in the house today believe, I mean earnestly believe, that God still works miracles to this day? Raise your hand. Amen. As a quick recap, we've been talking about the move of God, and we've been defining how God's move is a move from doubt. It is a move that takes us from a place of doubt to what we call the posture of possibility. What is the posture of possibility? It is getting on our knees and laying before the Lord saying, God, I know I can't, but I know you can. Amen. And how many know this morning that when we move from a place of self and we place our dependency in God, all kinds of doors begin to open for us? Amen. Because nothing is impossible for our God. Amen? Amen? Secondly, we talked about how the move of God is a move of purpose. Which purpose? It is a move of redemption. From Genesis to Revelation, you can see how God's redemptive plan is laid out in Scripture. And the cool part about it, church, is we get to play a part in this redemptive plan. We know that Jesus is the key to making it all work. Why? Because his life was the price. His blood paid the debt that you and I could never pay. Sin's debt has been satisfied in full, not in part, but in full, which means that when we call upon the name of the Lord, we will be saved. When we give our life to Jesus, when we surrender all, as we just sang about a moment ago, we receive eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. We are redeemed, set free of our sins. God's move is a move of purpose, a move of redemption. Last week we talked about how his move is a move of mission, a move that mobilizes the church into reaching the lost. And that is, here comes our part in the redemptive plan, is that God has a mission, and for the completion of that mission, he created the church. After Christ ascended into heaven and now sits at the right hand of the Father, the church has been commissioned to reach those who have yet to hear the good news. We are a part of God's plan. Hallelujah. And we have an amazing opportunity through the power of the Holy Spirit to share with the world God's love, God's redemption. Today we're going to talk about how God's move is one of miracles. We know about and read about Jesus' amazing ministry while he was here on earth. We see many amazing things happen that don't deny but defy natural law. And after his death, but before his resurrection, he gives important instruction to his followers that we looked at in part last week and will continue today. And this brings us to Mark chapter 16. And if you noticed, we haven't had a time for prayer yet in our service for our needs. At the end of our service today, we're going to open these altars and we're going to believe for God to work miracles right here, right now in these altars. Do you believe that this morning, that God can do that? God's move is a move of miracles. Look at with this in Mark chapter 16, beginning with verse 15. He said to them, "Go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned." Now, this is the Great Commission, a command that is given to all believers. And as we looked at this last week, I want to just very quickly recap that this command is given to everybody who calls themselves a Christian. It defines the move of mission. Listen to me, church. There is no such thing as a non-commissioned Christian. Amen? There is no such thing as a non-commissioned Christian. What do I mean by that? If you identify yourself as a believer in Christ, if you identify yourself as a Christian today, you are a part of God's mission to reach the world. Amen? Which means there is no such thing as a non-commissioned church. Why? Because the church is made up of believers of Christ. Amen? Everyone, a missionary, everywhere, a mission field. Let's move on in verse 17. And this brings us to our point today. He says this, "And these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons, they will speak in new tongues, they will pick up serpents with their hands, and if they drink any deadly poison, it will not hurt them. They will lay their hands on the sick, and they will recover." Verse 17 sets up this passage with a very important, a key phrase, if you will. These signs will accompany those who what? Believe. And he lists out several different miracles here. Cast out demons, which is defiance of a natural law. This is a supernatural miracle. Handling of venomous situations, serpents and poisons. And may I also throw this out, we don't have snakes that we're going to be handling today. That's all kind of nonsense. Don't get worried about it. I thought about having a basket up here and putting like a bobble ball in it just to get people moving. But here's the thing. When I read that, we can handle venomous situations, the serpents and poison. It's defiance of the natural law. It is a supernatural miracle. Healing of the sick through the laying on of the hands. It's defiance of natural law. It's a supernatural miracle. Listen, friends, I know I've said it before. I'll say it again. I believe God can heal cancer just like that. I believe God can deliver those of addictions just like that. I believe God can deliver you of any situation that you're walking through at the click of a finger. Why? Because God is able to do immeasurably more than we could ever ask or imagine according to His power that is at work within us. Do you believe that God is still able to work miracles today? Amen. The key, church, is in verse 17. The key is in verse 17. Believe. Trust must be placed not in the natural, but in the supernatural. We serve a God, church, listen to me. Listen to me. We serve a God that is not of this world, but is greater and beyond anything this world could ever offer. Don't try to define God by the limitations of this world. Don't do it. Our mind might try to make us put God in a box, but how many know that God just won't fit in that box? He created the box, church. He created this world. He spoke it into existence, church. God said, and it was done. Amen. It wasn't a big bang. It wasn't aliens. It wasn't any of these hocus pocus things that science would try to tell us otherwise. I've got a really easy answer. God said, and it was done. It's that simple. God created everything around us, and is supernatural. Doesn't operate according to the laws of this world. Here's the cool part for us this morning. He calls all believers, as we just saw in Mark chapter 16, He calls all believers to be a part of His amazing, miraculous move. Listen to me, church. God wants to work miracles in you and through you. But you must believe. You must believe in the God of miracles. And as we talk about this morning, I want you to begin to dream about and believe for greater things. Turn with me to John chapter 14. John chapter 14 and verse 12. And these are Jesus' words this morning. When He is speaking to His followers, He says, "Very truly I tell you, whoever believes in Me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do what? Even greater things than these. Because I am going to the Father." I want to read that again. "Whoever believes in Me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father." I want to break this down this morning very quickly as we talk about what Christ is communicating here. Whoever believes in Me will do the works I have been doing. Now, I don't want us to look at this phrase and merely think, wow, I can do the same kind of miracles that Jesus did in His ministry if I simply believe. And church, listen to me, there is a possibility of that happening today, because nothing is impossible with God. But I don't want us to miss the point of what Jesus is saying here. Whoever believes in Me will do what? The works I have been doing. Whoever believes in Christ will do what Christ was doing while on earth. It means that we will be compelled by the Father's love to reach out to those who do not yet believe. It means we become the miracle. What do I mean by that? What was Christ's life? What did it look like while He was on earth? He reached out to the sick. He reached out to the poor. He reached out to the tax collector. He hung out with the folks that were considered deplorable or disposable. He wasn't the one going looking for the popular crowds or looking for the favorites. Church, He was going to those in need, those who had no hope, those who had no direction, those who had no healing, and He reached out and He connected with them. And time again, we saw people delivered, we saw people set free, we saw situations completely reversed as Christ brought God's love to the picture. That was the work that Jesus was doing. That was the core behind His ministry, to seek and to save the lost, to love on those that society had rejected, that society said, no, you're not allowed to be here. In the case of the lepers, we know this was a terrible disease that would cause all kinds of sores and different things on a person's skin. There was no medical cure, no medical treatment for these folks. And so they were cast out of the city and were forced to live beyond the limits of the city so that the disease wouldn't spread to anybody. Do you realize that Christ's compassion went so deep for these guys? That not only did he go out and did he pray for them, but he placed his hands upon them. Well, Pastor, what's the big deal in that? Because leprosy was extremely contagious, and by law, Christ had now been contaminated by the disease. Is that what was really going on? Or had the disease just now encountered the healing touch of God through the hand of Jesus? Hello? Amen. And what was meant to be a debilitating disease was erased through the Son of God. Those are the works that Christ did. Why did he feed the 5,000? What was the point of the miracle? He didn't want the people to be in lack. Why did he heal the blind eyes of the man? Because he didn't want him to be blind anymore. It was compassion. It wasn't just so he could do these amazing miracles. It was so he could bless the people God sent him to save. Those are the works. Are you following me this morning? And God still works in miraculous ways. But I want us to understand sometimes this morning, church, that it's in the small things that can make the biggest impact in the lives of others. As we trust in God this morning, the God who is able, as we step out in faith, church, in reaching out to others, we engage as Christ himself engaged and trust the Spirit to lead us and to guide us. If we believe, church, how many believe? Amen. Come on. If we believe, listen to me, then we will do. If we believe, then we will step out. Belief in Christ leads us to do as Christ did. And was it Christ, look at what he said, if we believed and we did the works that he was doing while on earth, greater things will happen. Belief means that we focus on the power and the might of our God. You see, the natural world would try to draw our focus in to the situation at hand or to the impossibility of the situation. That's how our natural minds try to function. But supernaturally, God has the answer. God is the answer. Belief means that we leave no room for doubt. We leave no room for skepticism. We leave no room for negativity or pessimism. How many know that those two things right there can keep God from moving in mighty ways? Negativity and being pessimistic. Oh, you know, it's just over. It's doomed. There's nothing that, you know, can change. All this kind of stuff. You know what? Attitude is everything, church. Amen? If we approach a situation with doubt and disbelief, we've already set ourselves up to fail spiritually. But if we approach these issues with a supernatural belief, thinking, okay, God has got this. Remain faithful. God has got this. And I'm not trying to say that life is going to be easy. How many know that sometimes life has a way of throwing us a curveball? Amen? As you know, Friday, 30 minutes after I printed this notes out and had everything ready to go, going home for lunch, my truck blew up. I mean, come on. Things happen in life. But God's got this, church. Hello? God's got this. And we've got to believe and just step out in faith and work as Christ was working and watch the Lord move in miraculous ways. Too often life has a way of reminding us just how difficult everyday routines can be. As I said, cars can break down, sickness comes and goes, jobs can become stressful, or promotions get skipped over, bills pile up, relationships become strained, marriages become battlegrounds, and families become a circus. But one thing for sure, if we're faithful, if we believe, God will move in mighty ways. Our belief for greater things begins with a strong belief in God and in who God is. Listen to me on this. If we don't know who it is that we believe in, then how can we know what to believe for? If we don't know who it is that we believe, then how can we know what to believe for? Our world plays, listen to me, a very convincing tune. It's a song that just continues to go on and on. We can't pay our bills. We can't fix the car. We can't get to an agreement with our spouse or get the raise at the workplace that we've been looking for. It's a song of sadness. It's a song of overwhelmed hearts and troubled souls. But church, God's tune, God's song is much different. The Lord's song is one not of trial, church, but one of promise, as Luke chapter 1, verse 37 says that no word from God will ever fail. Mark 19, 26, with man, this is impossible, but with God, nothing or all things are possible. 2 Corinthians 12, 9, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Philippians 4, 13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Philippians 4, 19, my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. And Ephesians 3, 20, one that I have already quoted this morning, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we could ask or imagine according to his power that's at work within us. His promises, church, help us to persevere through the trials of life. His promises help us to truly believe for greater things. God's move is a move of miracles, church. Those who believe become the miracle, become those compelled to do greater things through the power and authority of Jesus Christ. You see, none of this morning, church, is impossible or it is possible without belief in Jesus. Believing is the key to receiving. Believing will result in doing the works of Jesus, which include miraculous works today. So let's get to a point of personal application. How many in the room today want greater things in your relationship with Christ? Amen. Amen. Come on. How many desire today for greater things in your relationship with Christ? How about this? How many want greater things in your marriage today? Amen? How many want greater things in your workplace or in your family, even in the church? Amen? Then listen, it's time that we tune in to the right station and begin to listen what the Spirit of God is wanting to do in you and through you. John 3:16, it's a powerful verse that most of us know. God so loved the world that God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son that whoever would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. This promise of everlasting or eternal life is something that I want us to understand today, is that we don't have to wait to cross over into eternity to be able to experience life in Jesus. The Lord desires for us to experience life to the full or life more abundantly. He makes that clear in John 10:10. He tells us that the thief has come to steal, to kill, destroy, but I have come that what? That they may have life and have it to the full. That life starts today as we believe for greater things. The most damaging effect that the thief can have on us spiritually comes in the area of belief, church. Listen, believing in God is the key to unlocking greater things that God has for us in life. Yet if the enemy can steal that belief from you, we will remain locked up in the trials of life. Think about it for just a moment. If the devil can get you worried, if the devil can get you focused on what you can't do instead of what God can do, our belief begins to struggle. Our faith misplaced. We no longer move as God calls us to move and can become trapped by the natural limitations. Believing for greater things, church, means believing in a greater God. A God that is greater than this world. God is greater than any and all struggles that we have or will ever face. The devil simply doesn't want you believing that today. He wants to steal that truth from you. Listen to me. Life to the full can happen when life is full of whatever. What do I mean by that? As long as we believe in God, church, then we have all that we will ever need. Because God's greatness remains unaffected and intact no matter what situation or issue may come our way. Do you believe that today? Do you believe that when we are in our darkest hour, do you believe that when we're walking through that valley, that God is there with us, that God is able to carry us through, that God is able to take us from the valley and put us back on top of the mountain? God's greatness is not determined. Listen, I want you to hear this as well. God's greatness is not determined by our level of faith. Christ was sent to the cross despite the world's unbelief. While we were yet sinners, He died for us, church. And that is how great our God truly is. He's working for us before we even believed in Him. The plan was set and the payment for sin was made, but an acceptance was still required. We had to choose God's greatness. We had to abandon the old life of sin and choose a new life in Him. And the same reigns true in everyday life. We must abandon the old understanding and embrace the new truth and promise that we have in Jesus. I encourage you today, do not allow the enemy to get you settled into the world's way of thinking, for it will rob you of the hope and promise that we have in God. God has great things in store for each and every one of us today. Do you believe that, church? If I could have assistance on the keyboard this morning, Jesus promised greater things for those who choose to believe. But church, we've got to believe. It has to move from a simple response during a message to action steps that are lived out in life. What do I mean by that? A moment ago, I had us raise our hands in response to the question that said, do we believe that God still works miracles today? And many hands went up. We still believe that, amen? But if we believe that today, then that will compel us to move as God is leading us to move. To believe for our neighbor who's going through a hard time. To come alongside him and not just say, you know, man, I'm sorry you're going through that problem. I'll be praying for you. But to stop that very moment and say, can I pray for you right now? And believe for greater things in your life. You see what I'm saying? It moves us from that position. Because guys, listen to me. Can we be real for just a moment? It's easy in this setting. Hello? It's easy in this setting, as the pastor says, we're believing God for greater things. Amen. Hallelujah. Where it matters is when we walk out these doors. Hello? Where it matters is in those conversations that we're having with our coworkers or with those at Shopko or at Orchlands or out in the farm field, wherever life would take you, that's where that belief matters. Where that belief would cause you to step out in faith. And to pray for the farmer whose tractor just simply does not want to cooperate that day. Did you just say pray for a tractor? Listen, I have seen God do some pretty crazy things. Come on. Well, why would God fix a tractor in the middle of a cornfield? To show how awesome He is. To prove His glory to maybe an unbelieving farmer. Who would look at that and say, wow, God does care. I've seen God fix sound systems. I've seen things happen that just are beyond scientific reasoning. Right? But we have to unlock our mind, get out of that natural thinking, and begin to allow the supernatural God to move in us and through us. It's a call of action. I'm believing for greater things in this congregation, church, but listen to me. I'm believing greater things for North Central Kansas as this congregation walks through those doors and goes to Phillipsburg and the Kerwin and the Agra and the Athol and Alma and the Kensington and Smith Center, wherever our feet would take us, and take the power of God to every one of those communities. Belief is the key. Belief is the key. And so in response today, we lay down any disbelief or any distraction of the enemy. We bind the thief in Jesus' name. Did you hear me this morning? We bind the thief in Jesus' name. Come on, I know there's more than two people that heard me this morning. I said we bind the thief in Jesus' name, who would otherwise try to come in and steal from us the truth, who would otherwise try to come in and destroy. We receive from the Lord life to the full, and we believe for greater things. We become the miracle as we move, how the Lord leads us and compels us to move. And I want to encourage you in this way as well. If you pray for greater things, if you believe in faith for God to move miraculously in your life, expect to receive it. Did you hear me this morning? Listen to me. This is not a prideful statement. This is not an arrogant statement. It's a confidence statement. Who do we place our confidence in? Not ourselves, but in the one who answers prayer. Hello? If you pray for miracles, expect to receive them. Don't come to a position of prayer and say, well, God, if you feel like it, or God, maybe, just maybe. No, listen to me. His promises in Scripture are yes and amen. So when it says, by your stripes we are healed, receive His healing today. When you pray for greater things, expect the Lord to move. If you're praying for a greater job, believe the Lord for it. If you're praying for a greater marriage, believe God for it. If you're praying for God to move in great ways in the church, believe the Lord to move. And then begin to move. Begin to act upon this belief. James chapter 2, verse 14. Listen to this call of action. He says, what good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can that faith save him if a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to him, go in peace and be warmed and filled, without giving them the things needed for the body? What good is that? Look at verse 17. So also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. What is James calling believers to do right here? He is saying, if you believe it, begin to move. Faith will cause us to act. Faith will cause us to move. Belief will cause us to believe for God to move in mighty ways. We cannot sit idle hoping. We become the miracle when we step out in faith and say, okay, God, I know yours is a move of miracles. Your scriptures have encouraged us and commanded us to believe for greater things. Let's go begin a greater work for Him. Again, Mark 16, 17 said, these signs will accompany those who believe. There's no maybe in that. You see that? These signs will accompany those who believe. Again, John 14, 12, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing. action will come as a result of our belief. Miracles will come as a result of our action. Hear me this morning. If you're believing for a greater marriage, I charge you, take the steps to start making it better. If you're believing for a greater job, take the steps to make it greater. If you're believing that God has great things for you and for this church, then let's take the right action steps to make things greater. Let's take that step of faith. But the greatest thing that each and every one of us in this room can do today is take that step of faith in calling on the name of the Lord for salvation. If we could bow our heads and close our eyes all across this place, the greatest miracle we have ever witnessed on earth was the satisfaction of our sin debt through the life given on the cross. The greatest miracle you can experience in life is that of salvation, church. I was 13 when I gave my heart to Jesus. When I surrendered to His Spirit and to His presence. The only thing I regret is that I hadn't prayed to Him sooner. He changed it all for me, church. As I believe He wants to change it all for you today, but you've got to give it all to Him.